Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Sunday is not the day to relax.
Hang on, say it again. Sorry, I was just buying some crypto.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
And if you think you're better than everyone else, then you do your thing.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
This is the Sunday Rub. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome to Sunday Afternoon Football from Marvel Stadium, Collingwood up against the Kangaroos. This is the number one rating program on a Sunday afternoon by a long way. Scotty Pendlebury is going to be coming up later in the program. Luke Davies, Uniac, Hitcher Caravan, Steel Side Bottoms 300. We've got a massive tribute to that. And let's get around the box because it has been a big weekend full of upsets. And first of all, it is Big Cool Montagna is here as always.
Hello, Brownie. Good to see everyone back here together in the box. Jay-Z's here as well, which is nice. And Stevie in person.
No, I'll get to,
forward to today.
Those guys in a minute. But a man who doesn't get invited to weddings, but 100 games with also Carlton and Collingwood is Dale Thomas.
Yes, great to be with you, Brownie. And the wedding you're speaking of course, is Steel Side Bottoms, whose 300th game it is today. Have been asked to go down on the boundary to get amongst it, sort of insert myself there with a few of my other 2010 Premiership teammates. So I think this might be a little bit of a make-up from Sidey.
And the Herald Sun's number one man, Jay Clark.
Hello, Brownie. Feeling... feeling refreshed.
You sound great.
Doesn't sound like it, does it? Nice to have a little break last week and get down and have a marathon.
Did you enjoy your run?
Yeah, it was great. Half marathon, howling winds, gusty 80 kilometres.
Don't make excuses, mate.
It was like Michael Jordan's flu game. I've said this before. It was a very courageous effort. And well done to all the runners down there.
I did say off the top we were the number one program and by a long way. We lost Duck. We lost Ross Lyon. But we brought this man in, Stevie J. And I tell you what, he was brilliant last week. He asked the question of the year. Things like we are number one. And he just embarrassed a lot of us. But it builds the ratings. And now I'm a bit worried how he's going to produce himself today because he's had a massive weekend. He's gone to Perth.
Yes.
He's left on Thursday. Oh. He's done a cashie on Thursday night.
Yes.
He's done a lunch on Friday. Friday for a cashie, a separate one Friday night for a cashie.
Oh,
Saturday afternoon, what do you reckon he did?
Cashie.
And then Saturday night, he also did a cashie in Perth. Then he got on the red eye and he did say to me Thursday, how much cash can I take across state and county lines? Is that, I'm looking at his pocket at the moment. There is a bulge in it like you wouldn't believe. There is a massive bulge in his pocket because I'm estimating at least 15,000 in cash in Steve Johnson. Pocket.
Oh, great to be here, Brownie. There was no cash involved. Giving back to grassroots. Gaiman has been
all
so
invoices.
Good to me. So, good to get over there. I'm a big deal over in Perth. Very big. I'm like Nick Matt over there.
I want to ask you a question straight off the top because I've got it on good authority that Mouse is the number one man over there. Mm. He gets all the people. He gets all the staff. He gets all the big names. But Mouse wasn't part of this.
Ooh.
He wasn't part of this. It was a different man, Ronnie, that got, was it Ronnie?
Yeah, Ronnie got Stevie J.
And
over there. He's the man.
Now, is it true that Mouse caught wind of Steve Johnson coming to Perth and then tried to undercut? He tried to come in and offer the promoters Harry Taylor instead of Steve Johnson at a cut rate and said, have you heard his cognac story? He likes cognac. Is that true or is that false?
Yeah, he rang the footy club and tried to cut me out and get Harry Taylor in at a little bit less than what I was getting, Jay-Z. So,
Aaron, weren't you doing
it for
the
love? He got a firm no. I was so excited to come in here today. Now, we'll get off that track. Now,
No.
Harry Taylor's a great bloke, but I've got Harry or Stevie J. I'm taking Harry every day of the week. There's only so many cognac stories you can tell.
Did Harry put ham in his stew one day?
Yeah, he put ham in his sock.
Josh Jenkins.
And then at the end of the game, he shook hands with Josh Jenkins because he was allergic to ham.
It's not safe.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that if he's allergic to it. Peanuts. You'll have a
food poisoning through the
Okay.
From a bad piece of ham. So I don't know.
So he's a funny bugger.
He is a funny bugger.
Yeah, real hilarious.
But, he can remember every capital city of every country in the world. That's what he brings to the
table. What sort of stuff did you roll with over there? And how much did you get paid per event?
I had a few beers over there, don't get me wrong. And that's why I was actually so excited. I'm not going to go into fees because most of it was for the love of the game, as I said. But I got here this morning. So I've come off the red eye and thinking, I won't bother getting brekkie. I have two Red Bulls And
Have a look at that wallet.
I thought you got an invoice.
Dale Thomas.
This was for the love.
Dale Thomas.
He's pulled out a Pablo Escobar style, like just wad.
Dale Thomas.
And they're all green.
Has just pulled out Steve Johnson's wallet, and I can see at least $50, $100 notes.
Oh, wow. Like,
I've never seen.
That'd be 10. There's about 12.
Come on, give it back.
12 and a half.
Yeah.
It's like you just robbed the Commonwealth.
That's a good weekend. I had a win on a punt
over there.
You're not allowed to do that across state lines, I would have thought.
You've got to declare that stuff.
Or is that just international?
I'm not sure.
You won that at the casino, Steve. You won that at the casino, correct?
That's right.
Yes.
Got to quaddy up.
The thing I'm concerned about is we do something with Steve Brownie on Thursday, magnificent show for Fox Footy and Sportsbet. He's wearing the same clothes that we saw him on Thursday. So he's gone a four-day bender in the same kit, the same blue jumper and the same jeans.
That's Fraser Brown style. Fraser Brown once rocked up to the airport and his clothes did not have a bag. All he had in his pocket was a toothbrush.
Now, Jay-Z, don't go throwing too many stones because you know you're away last week.
Yes.
Big rating show. Our producer even went to the lengths of the Skip and Nathan Brown earlier on in the year and said, boys, that is one of the best shows we've ever had.
Yep.
And you weren't a part of it.
That's right. But it doesn't really count when your mum texts, does it? Like, you know, when your mum texts you, like, say, good show, Stevie. That was the feedback to Rabsy. Because I heard the great reports. I'm down there running in Apollo Bay and I get to the pub and I'm having a couple of beers down there. And then I see the message on the group. It says, that was the greatest show I've ever heard, ever. So I get around the boys. I say, boys, let's go back to the house. Let's put the podcast on the Sunday Rub, boys. We're on fire today. And we listen to the first break. We thought, oh, the gold will be in the second break, Brownie. And then we listen to the second break.
Here he goes.
it must be here somewhere. And then we heard this magnificent address from Steve Johnson to Scotty Selwood. And this is when the show hit the jackpot.
And Scotty, how's Harry Mackay sort of handled the criticism that's been come his way during the week? Criticism.
Oh, I'm the Collingwood coach. I'm the Collingwood coach.
If you go into the other room to find out for us, that'd be great.
I just seen Vossi walk past you and I thought, you could just ask.
Sorry.
I'm hiding. Daisy, I'm hiding.
We apologise. He's only you.
So it was right. You're right. It was one of the best shows
ever. It's broken the internet, that. Yeah. It's broken the internet. Over 220,000 views.
Feedback's a gift. Did you and Giles, the boss of Triple M, contact you and just say, Steve, you need to sharpen up a bit?
No, I think he would have been quite happy with the content because I actually tuned in, I was over in Perth in between gigs yesterday and listened to the Saturday Rub. They used about 5 minutes of our content from the Sunday the week before.
Have you got your headphones on backwards or something?
Yes, he does. Yes, you do.
Okay. Can you hear me?
So there's also a couple of issues we need to raise.
Yes.
Because there's someone in the box, and you never know, you never want to be called a tight ass, but it was Joey's turn to bring the supper today. He's brought 16 dumplings. So there's nine people in the box. He's brought two boxes of eight dumplings for everyone, and two dumplings each doesn't go that far, Joey. Yeah.
I tell you what, there's something going on here because, Stevie, you'll get to your event in a minute. There's six of us in the Sunday supper.
Yeah.
I did the maths. I bought 30 dumplings. That's five dumplings per person. I thought that would be plenty.
Have you seen the size? Well, you've also got
That's why I thought, well, if there was seven of us, that's still four each. That's 28.
There's nine in the box.
It's not lunch, is it? It's more an entree. He's brought an entree. Is that right?
Anyway, Stevie, how'd you go with the duck?
Stevie's had two Red Bulls in 24 hours.
He hasn't eaten in a week.
I had a 196 can at about 2 a.m. this morning. And then I rolled in into Melbourne, thought I'd get two Red Bulls to get me up. Had one in the car, and then I thought I'd bring one up to the box.
Yep.
I got told you can't bring a Red Bull can up, so I had to scull that at the entrance. I thought, well, my guts will be churning. I thought, I can't wait for this Sunday supper.
Yep.
And then I heard it was dumplings, which, you know, I'm the dumpling king.
Yeah. You're thinking 10.
I'm thinking, I'll have a lazy at least 12.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't order and be short. That's one thing you can never do.
Yep.
Anyway, get in here. Looking around, thinking, surely they're playing a prank on me. They've hidden my dumplings. They know that they'll get something out of me there.
Yep.
He didn't order enough the tight ass. That's just not good enough, Joey.
And Italians normally reputed to be very generous. You go to an Italian family and they have a schnitzel for...
Absolutely.
You come out busting.
Well, there's two things you don't want to be known as. One's a tight ass.
Yep.
and one is a call hog. Now, last week, Joey, we went through it, and we couldn't believe that the only station that didn't change when Dyson Heppel took that big mark was our Triple M Joey. Now, he didn't change, and we've been calling him Big Call Montagna.
Yeah.
He might be Big Moment Montagna because he's called a lot of big moments. And all the other callers are sitting here going, how is he getting all these big moments? And everyone is on Instagram and it's all about Joey, first crack, last crack, mid crack, every crack he's on. Yeah. But I'm the self-appointed captain of this group.
We
have a broader captain.
Yes.
And it's James Brayshaw, who's one of the great callers of all time. Yep. And he's caught wind of Joey's antics. And this is what Brayshaw has given us.
One thing we don't tolerate at Triple M is selfish callers. We've had a 100 years of people handing it over at the right time. And I don't know how, because my Saturday nights are normally buried somewhere else. But this particular Saturday night, I happened to be in my chariot. I was listening to the unbelievable call of Essendon Richmond. Joey's got the call. Dyson Heppel takes a mark late. And I'm thinking, this is unfortunate for Joey because I can see history's about to be made, but he's going to have to hand it over. He wants to keep it, but at that moment you can't keep it. You've got to hand it over. So Dyson's taken the mark. I'm waiting for the hand. No hand. Hand, not here. Robbo, no hand. I then flick over to the AM stations. They've both handed over. I get to Channel 7. There's a handover. In fact, the only people calling the game not to hand over when Dyson Heppel takes that mark late in a real tight one was Joey Montagna and Triple M. He hung on to it. He called the winning goal. He made it all about himself. You need to get into the rumour mirrors, Joey. It'll have to be a wide one. That is not tolerated on Triple M.
I actually didn't watch or hear any of it and have no idea what any of this is about. But anyway, suck shit, Joey.
You've got to get in the room of mirrors and make it a wide one.
Oh, I like it. And so what the listeners might not know is when the handover happens, you get a little tap, don't you?
Yeah.
You tap each other to signal the handover. And who was waiting for the tap?
Jack Heverin.
He was waiting for the tap. Like, he even shuffled over sideways, lent his shoulder in. There was no tap. And Joey, who we call Big Call Montagna, wanted the big call.
Well, it was funny because Leroy, who does the great job, he put that together.
Mm.
He was the one who was listening somehow to multiple different stations, and he was onto it.
Mm. He did.
And did he receive some feedback?
Now, I want to ask you a question, Joey.
Oh, no.
Did you send Leroy a text to say, how did you come across that audio?
No, you seem belittled a bloke
Leroy
just doing his job, and you've double-barreled him and said, and I quote, "Do this again, I thank you." Poor Leroy.
No, I actually did send him a text. I was wanting to know how the hell he was listening to SEN, 3AW and ABC calls, wondering what he does in his spare time. And no, I found out. He listens to other stations in his spare time. So that's how we came up with it.
And he found the good content.
And I've taken all the feedback on board, as you say, Stevie J. I've taken all the feedback on board, Brownie, and I'll make sure today you get the big moment when Steel Sidebottom kicks the goal in his 300th today.
Okay, before we get to a break, any news you want to get off the top before we get into Jay-Z's big three? Just something small.
Hawthorn superstar captain James Sicily, who produced an unbelievable performance yesterday, upset the Saints, had 42 possessions, will miss the game against Port Adelaide next week. Expect him to get a one-match suspension for his bump on Anthony Caminiti. Be graded careless conduct, high contact and medium impact. As we see in the NBA, there is 3 seconds left in Game 6. Miami leads by one. Boston have put the shot up and his rim down. Maybe the tip encountered. Maybe the tip encountered. Derek White, that is unbelievable finish to Game 6. They're going to review the tape. There was 3 seconds left. Miami led by one. Boston attempted the three-pointer, which missed, and then there was a last-second tip-in. We are going to see it now, the replay. Derek White has got it off, and he has got it in. That is one of the most unbelievable Game 6 moments we have seen. It looks like it is headed to Game 7 if the umpire referees tick this off. Miami versus Boston, what a series this has been. And you see the Boston players get right around Derek White at the moment. Boston win by a point. It is going to Game 7.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Sunday Rub. You've got Joey, you've got Stevie J, Dale Thomas and Jay-Z Clark. This man has got his own segment.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Yes, thank you, Brownie. Gee, we did not see this coming yesterday. GWS, a 7-point win over Geelong down there at the Cattery. The Giants have a decent record down there at the Cattery. It was a huge win for Toby Green, his captain, and the coach, Adam Kingsley. But doesn't it put big question marks on the Cats, who are now 4 points outside the eight as reigning premier? I think we're all pretty bullish about what Geelong could deliver this season. But with Asava Radagalea going down with a fresh hamstring injury, they've had some continuity issues, especially in their back half. Their defensive performance has been quite average as a totality over the first half of the season. But Joey, this really is in line with the trend of reigning premiers. So if you have a look, if you go back to 2015, four of the seven premiers either didn't make the finals or made the finals and didn't win a final. And I want to get your take on this too, Daisy and Stevie J, who have obviously both played a lot of finals and backed it up. But you go back to Melbourne in 2021, win the flag. Next year, out in straight sets. Richmond, 2020, won the flag, didn't make finals the next year. They did the year before that in 2019. 18, West Coast win the flag, then fall off the perch. Richmond again in 2007, won the flag and then made the preliminary final the next year. So Richmond have been able to buff it a bit. The Bulldogs in 2016 won the flag, then didn't make the finals. Hawthorn 2015 won the flag and then went out in straight sets. That is the trend. This really shouldn't be so much of a surprise. If you win the flag, the statistics over the past 8 years say it is very difficult to even make the finals, let alone win one. What have you made of the Cats, and are we seeing that continue on into 2023?
I suppose that the first two things that jump out when you mention that trend for me, Jay-Z, one, no doubt there's an element of the hunger and the, you know, is maybe just not quite the same once you've won the premiership medallion, which would make it difficult. And secondly, the competition is so even that it becomes very hard the following year to just continue on and be the best team in the competition. So they're probably the two first thoughts that come to mind. This one with Geelong, though, is a slight bit different because of the injuries. It's very hard to get a real read on their hunger or, you know, the competition because of how decimated they have been by injury. But I don't think anyone expected this year was going to be a walk in the park for the Cats and that they were going to just stroll to another premiership. I know people think that at the start of every year because you're coming off the team that's just won the flag, but we know that it's so much even and so much harder than just
the
that.
The Giants had no right to win that game yesterday because they had Haynes out. Yep. They also had Josh Kelly, who's probably their premier on-baller in the midfield, their best user, probably their best runner and best decision-maker. How they won that, and we're always talking about Geelong's injuries at the moment, but it's not that deep. They're missing Dangerfield and Guthrie through the midfield. Yeah, Holmes went out, but outside that, they've had a few defenders in and out, but is their injury list as long as others?
They've got a few pretty important players. Holmes is a very important player for them through the midfield. Duncan's their best kick inside 50. Danger's their contested ball. DeConing looked
come
like
back.
He was
bet.
Back, yeah.
Well, he's back yesterday.
And Guthrie's the other one. So, Guthrie, I mean, that's four pretty important
Kelly
players.
Kelly and Haynes for the Giants too.
Well, Toby Green just took over in that game. But on your point there, Jay, I wouldn't be questioning their character. It can happen. So you need a lot of luck. And as Joey spoke about, it's the evenness of the top 14 teams in the competition. If you're slightly off your game, you can be beaten by anyone. Mm. And right at the moment, they're not in their sweet spot. But I see them a little bit like Richmond. Maybe it won't be their year, but their list is still in a strong position where they can bounce back next year and be having a crack at a premiership once again. But this year it looks like it might be just a little bit too hard with what they've had to carry.
Well, they're no certainties to make it. This is their run home. Geelong is one of the hardest run homes in the competition. Got the Bulldogs, Port away, Melbourne, Sydney away, then North at Essendon, but then they've got Brisbane, Frio, Port, Collingwood, and they finish off with St Kilda Bulldogs. Like, there are seven or eight really tough games in that run, Daisy. So I think it's going to be a real challenge even to make the eight at all from here.
If they're good enough too, they'll be going into it, obviously, in some good form, knocking off teams and winning games to get in there against opposition that will be in the eight as well. And I love the mindset of what they've come out with already. They've said, we just need to get into the finals, and then hopefully we'll have our list strong and ready to go there and then give it a shake. It's pretty realistic as to where they are at. I don't think you question the hunger either. I just think you understand that you probably have a year where you are the hunter and then you become the hunted pretty quickly when you do finish on top and everyone wants to figure out what you've done so brilliantly to get there. We see it with the Pies now, teams trying to figure out how you take it away from them. And if you don't get it right, and we've seen throughout the season, if you have two or three of your best players out, no matter who you are, if you're a good side or bad side, you can fall away pretty quickly.
So it's you guys all know, right? you won a flag in 2010. I think 2011, your average winning margin was 60 points a game for the first half. Stevie Jade, 7, 9, 11. Joey, right up there, 10 and 11. What is it like? How do the clubs and coaches frame it when you've come off the flag or a grand final and you're set to go again? How do you generate that intense hunger, desire, drive to get up there again? Because it is so hard, as you've just explained.
I think you rely on the character of the players, like I touched on before. And if you've got a group of competitors that want to win, and the other thing is there's the carrot. Once you win a premiership, tasting that and understanding how good it feels and what comes after it too, Daisy, you want it so much more once again. So I think the carrot's there. I don't think you can really question the motivation of the players.
For us, it was Michael Malthouse's first day of preseason, just saying, right, move on. We're not talking about it. We're not living in the past. Well done. Fantastic effort, but reflect when you're done. When your careers are over, we move on right now. And a few of us were taken aback by that. We were sort of going, well, okay, we thought we might have at least been able to enjoy it up until Christmas.
Sunshine but, yeah, a little bit.
Come on, but no, no. Thanks, Mick. But it was the beauty of just snapping our mindset back to, right, we're back to work. We've got to improve. We've got to find a way in. You know, 2011, we were arguably a better side than 2010, as you touched on. Unfortunately, Tom Hawkins turned into Wayne Carey in a grand final and we lost.
But big, I kick four, Daisy.
The big if, big if.
All from him.
Jay-Z, big if is if Geelong get all their players back and do sneak into the finals. Yep. They are a team that won't need long to gel because they've played together. They know their brand and their system so well. So that's going to be the big question mark, but you're right, they're going to be in a big fight to even make the eight with so many other teams now back in the race.
Mentioned Asava Radigalea, hamstring, so he's going to take some replacing in their back half. Let's take a listener, Chris Scott, his take on the performance last night, in particular some of the continuity issues, the availability problems they've had over the first half of the season.
I mean, it's a really frustrating night, and we do feel like, you know, we are chasing our tail a little bit, but I don't think that's a unique position within the competition at the moment. Like, even the results of today kind of speak to where the competition's at. And we're not hiding away from the fact that we're not playing as well as we could. But we think there are some pretty obvious reasons for that. So we don't think we're in the position where, you know, we need to throw out what we're doing and start all over again. We certainly need some tweaks.
So, certainly, Chris got pragmatic, saying the season's not over, but they have got some work to do. I want to talk about flopping next, Branny. When you take a dive, what goes through a player's head? Max King did it yesterday. Cody Waitman, there's some
talk about.
Okay,
we'll talk about that after the break.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.
Collingwood up against North Melbourne, Marvel Stadium, Sunday afternoon football. Can't wait for this one. Penderbury not far away. Luke Davies, Uniac. Stevie, when you bring home 12 and a half grand, how much do you tell your wife you're going away to earn? Is it the full 12 and a half or are you honest?
1,200. And 50.
Okay. How did your wife take the feedback about the quiche? She made the quiche, she made a great effort with the quiche, and then we sort of didn't rate the quiche.
I haven't told her.
Right.
I haven't told her because
she doesn't listen.
The quiche was fine. It just, it's again, fine. Like a bit like the dumpling.
Cold. Wasn't it's better than it. Nothing, yeah, which I got in only half an hour early.
I'm doing you a favour, Stevie, to be fair.
All right. Oh. Hang on, there's one bloke in this box, maybe two actually. Was it should not be throwing stones at me.
Was it real sunny in Perth, was it?
What, I nice and tanned, am
I? Yeah, you look a bit red.
Yeah.
Okay, Jay-Z's victory, number two, number three.
So we had an issue yesterday in Hawthorn's win over St Kilda where Maxi King, he kicked four goals. He was an absolute star, but he got a double 50. He flopped twice, and Luke Darcy, the Western Bulldogs champion, absolutely hit the nail on the head in the live play calling. Let's have a listen to the broadcast yesterday.
Rolls it into the path for King, and he gets a holding free. It gives old Blanky a bit to go on with.
Oh, no.
And now Blanky's giving away Fitty. What happened, Duke?
Big Maxi has seduced a free kick, I'd say, BT. He'll have a look at it, and he won't be proud. It was a genuine.
Oh, no.
It's a double flop. And it was that the first one was a bigger flop than that from Max, who we love.
What's happening? Sicily's hip and shoulder inward.
Double. Yep.
Sort of.
It's a 100-metre penalty now, but the first one, Max has just fallen over with a little bit of a push in the chest.
So we don't like the flop in footy. It's raised its head. Cody Waitman obviously accused of doing something similar to the cheap free kick last night. How do you feel of the stars of the show when you go a bit weaker than these to get a free kick or a 50-metre penalty?
I've got no issue with it, to be completely honest with you, Jay-Z. If you're going to get that and the umpire's silly enough to pay it, 50 metres, get down there, kick your double 50 there, kicks him side a goal. If the umpire isn't onto it, why not?
You suck him in.
Firstly, every one of us has played for a free kick and exaggerated.
Yeah, we can't be critical.
No, I mean, we've all done it. So, I mean, you're trying to get a goal for your team. I mean, I don't really blame Max King for doing it. It's up to the umpire to just say, well, no, I'm not going to pay that. Get up and move on. You know, if you're going to pay the free kicks, players are going to continue to do it.
The AFL's probably got to come out and just say, if you do flop, we can see that you've done it. Maybe that you'd be seducing the umpire and the free kick. Maybe you get a free kick on the day, but if a fine follows it, you can see that you've played for a free kick, maybe a fine, stamped out of the game.
It's now up to Michael Christian to make a statement about it. If we don't want it in the game, give him a big fine. Give him a statement type fine. Give him a fine over the top.
You can't fine him because there was a bump. He was bumped.
There was
contact. You can't say that he faked it because
he
was bumped.
But he faked it.
No, but he was bumped.
He didn't need to go to ground.
He probably
had players like Tom Jonas being rubbed out for getting a free kick.
Yeah.
So it's the same sort of thing. If you're going to take contact and then flop to the ground because that's what you're trying to do is get a 50, then Michael Christian's got to look that. They brought a rule in for staging. If you're going to do that, you get a fine, you make a statement, Chris.
James Brayshaw called it yesterday. He uses the nightclub queue test. If you would fall over in a nightclub queue like that, then that would be equally embarrassing.
I haven't been in a nightclub queue ever.
His point is, you don't
tell
go
us
to,
about this line.
Yeah, what happens at all?
You go to, you don't
so
go
you
down
go
the
to the front, you get your drink cards.
You know what happened then? Midway through that sentence, I saw Stevie Johnson stand up in the box and give a thumbs up to Scotty Selwood, who thought it was very funny. So I was a bit distracted in the moment. You two great mates. Obviously, you know where he's from, Collingwood assistant coach, Stevie. But he said, you know, no one goes down in a nightclub queue that easy, so don't do it on the football field. And to me, that's not a bad line of sight on it. Because is it not embarrassing when you take a dive like that?
Probably.
But so you feel good, you get up and go, oh yeah.
But you're trying to win a game of football. Max King got a goal from it. I mean,
so what would Ross Lyon say?
It's embarrassing.
Ross Lyon wouldn't say
anything.
Ross Lyon wouldn't say anything. What would he say? Max, don't do that. Well, he got a goal. He got a goal from it.
What do you think, Brownie?
I don't like the look of it. I don't like it, but look, it's embarrassing if he doesn't get the free kick. If he goes to ground and doesn't get the free kick.
Yeah.
But the umpire, he should be smarter than that. The umpire should see, he should know how hard somebody hits and how he go down so easily. So it's up to the umpire, and now it's up to Michael Christian. The players are going to continue to do it if they're allowed to
That's
do it.
That's right. The answer is the umpire's just got to not pay the free kick and players will stop doing it. If you're getting rewarded, players will do it.
I saw one of the best bits of footy tally of the year on your show this morning, Nathan Brown, when Matthew Lloyd went through the goal-kicking assessment of Harry Mackay, and in 3 minutes he completely summed up with complete logic and common sense the mistakes the Carlton spearhead was making simply in his run-up, in his ball drop. So tell me this, when it is big business and games of football decide careers and players are getting paid $700,000 and $800,000 a year, why is it Steve Johnson, who mastered the J-curve better than anyone, that he can run into a goal as wobbly as he is, as Matthew Lloyd showed this morning? How is this not being completely perfected in a routine that he can trust under high pressure?
Well, he should have a routine that he can trust. That's the first thing. And then if Lloydie's been critical of his technique, there's obviously some things that he needs to fix there, and they need to get a goal-kicking coach for him, but not just him, Charlie Curnow as well.
So you wouldn't have seen it this morning. So no. Lloydie slowed down the vision and he went one to the right, and that's exactly where Harry went.
Pointed
and then
to the
second
right.
One, his body was facing over to the left to the points, and that's exactly where he kicked it. And Lloydie was critical of how he's moving the ball around in a circle as he's coming in for goal. He said all the great players keep it steady, so you're not waving it around.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he's like at training. So if that technique that he has actually works at training. Because if it works at training, well, then we know it's probably more mental on match day.
So if you got 5 minutes with Harry Mackay, Steve, he's kicked 519 goals, what on earth would you be telling him?
I would say have a plan of attack from any area of the ground. You know what kick you're going to use. You know if you're going to steer one through. You know if you're going to kick a snap from any point on the ground. So I've always said to players, I don't mind if you kick a snap. I would kick a snap from here, but I'm not telling you to. You've just got to make sure you've done the repetitions from every area on the ground, and you know what best percentage you're going to get from each kick. So,
what are you seeing above the shoulders?
Well, we know that now that everyone's looking at him, he knows the world's watching him every time he has a shot on goal. Does that affect the way that he attacks his run up or
his approach?
His approach. Does he do things differently than what he would do at training? I'm not sure, but certainly there would be some aspect of it becoming more mental with the more focus that's being put on it.
I think it's 90% mental. I mean, the 2 years previous, he kicked 103 goals, 64. Like, he can actually kick goals. That's 60%. That's sort of, you know, above league average. It's this year, it's in his head. And you could see his actual... He even mumbled something to himself before one of his shots at goal. He's in a bad way mentally.
Started to get into his head last year, I think.
Yeah. Late last year, back end of the year.
Yep. When he was his left foot closer to the boundary line and he couldn't kick those goals because he couldn't snap it. And he was snapping from everywhere. And he was pumping his snaps last year. He was actually a very good snapper. And that's left him this year. And then he's gone back to the straight kick. So he's just struggling as what kick am I going to take? So it goes back to Stevie's point. He needs to know exactly where he's going to kick it and what sort of kick from where.
You've all been football clubs under intense pressure. The spotlight is on Carlton. They are the biggest story in the country at the moment other than Hawthorn. What is it like inside the four walls? Would they be walking on eggshells? Do they talk about it? How do you think the players are feeling this week at Icon Park when they go into the review on Monday?
No, they shouldn't be. They should be worrying about their process. I mean, I think there's been an overreaction with the Carlton supporters to their performance. When you look at all their numbers on the weekend, they won every stat except the accuracy in front of goal. I mean, Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow had 10 shots at goal between them. You think that's enough? They kicked one out of their 10 goals. So that was the only issue that really let them down. If they kick accurately, they win. In some ways, the pressure that externally and even the supporters are building on their own club is now affecting the players because Charlie Curnow...
You feel it.
He's been beautiful in front of goal most of the year. Now the last few weeks, he's starting to feel the pressure because of the external pressure around this football club and what they should be doing. So they've sort of built a rod for their own back a little bit. They've just got to hit the scoreboard better in front of goals and they probably win another couple of
games. It's also why you put leaders in their position. So big job now for Paddy Cripps and his leadership group around him to say, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. You come in, you walk through the doors and we're happy. And it's his job, Paddy Cripps as a captain, to try and get people up. Same thing as Michael Voss. It's his job to now rally around the players.
Positive.
All the pressure's on Michael Voss, but he needs to go, okay, I don't care about the pressure. I need to get my players up. And you shouldn't have to get players up, but it certainly helps when somebody comes over and gives you a pat on the back and say, you're doing really good. Then he walks out and he feels good about himself at training. Mm. And as soon as Harry Mackay starts to hit a couple and it goes straight through the middle, he's then going to get that confidence. But a lot starts from the leadership group.
I tell you, the good clubs, they will come in on a Monday morning and you should not know whether the club's had a win or a loss. You
Linger.
Stick to the process. Mm. You don't get carried away if you have a win and sweep some things under the carpet. And on the flip side with a loss, everyone can sort of look at it and go, oh, we've had a loss. But as Joey mentioned, they've done a lot right on the day as well. So that's what the good clubs do.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
About an hour and a half away from Collingwood taking on North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. Steve Johnson, you've got Lee Montagna. And I've never seen a more tense box when we've got a guest on to see who was going to go down boundary side to interview him. Was it going to be Dale Thomas, his former premiership teammate? Was it going to be Jay Clark, who might have been charged with stalking Scotty Pendlebury at some stage? But our man Daisy said, I am going to do it. I won a premiership with him. I should have been the Norm Smith medalist. And he's with Pendles now.
Yeah, I certainly am, gents, down here with the 367 gamer Scotty Pendlebury. Great to be alongside you. Are you happy that Jay-Z did just stick out and stay 150 metres away from you like he has through that court order?
Yeah, it's the restraining order that allows that, so I'm nice and happy. But, yeah, it's great to see you, mate, and, yeah, very excited to be here today for this game and Steele's 300th and Coxie's 100th.
Hey, Pendles, how's the mood at the footy club? Obviously, it's going really nicely. And what about yourself just not being captain this year? Has it been a bit different for you this season?
Yeah, it has been a lot different for me. I suppose less sort of meetings and having to deal with any people that muck up and things like that. So it's sort of just being out of the back end and more just being able to go about my business, freed up my time a little bit, which has been enjoyable. And, yeah, the club's in a good space at the moment. We're playing some good footy and, you know, hopefully we can replicate that again today against North.
How's the eyeball management, Scotty? So can you tell us you got your eyeball squished and then you missed a game, you had stitches. I'm not sure, was it in your eyeball or in your sort of eye area? And what's the maintenance been like since? Or what have you had to do to it since every day?
Is that the end of the question? Or
He's a long question asker.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that. So I actually had my last drops yesterday. So I was on drops for a month. I had surgery on my eyeball. I had to go in and put 4 stitches on the eyeball. So it's not great when you can't get knocked out for that. So you're sitting there when they stick a needle in and stuff like that. So
How do you sleep?
On my back, usually. That's how I sleep. It's a bit of a weird question too, Jack. Stop it.
That's what the court orders there for.
No, but if you got stitches in your eyeball, was it annoying to blink or sleep?
Jay, can you shut up? Anyone else got one on their voice?
I've got a question. So we know how good Steel Sidebottom's been, his career, 300 games today. Really interested in knowing what his wedding was like, because you were obviously on the guest list.
Yeah, his wedding was, I know where we're alluding to here. Yeah, his wedding was fantastic, and it was great to see a lot of my ex-teammates there that played in the flag with him. There's a couple that didn't get there.
What's your theory on that? Why wasn't Dale Thomas invited to the wedding?
I'm not too sure. You'll have to ask Daisy himself. What's he said along the way?
He doesn't know.
He thinks
probably
he's
had
pretty
a points
stiff.
Bet commitment on or something.
Well, take it away, Daisy.
I don't have much more for you, Scoop, but one of them I do have for you is you're encroaching onto potentially, if you get 60-odd more games to break the all-times record, how is the body? Do you think you're a chance to get there?
Oh, I haven't thought that far. But, yeah, my body's pulling up really well. Probably 18 was the hardest year I've had with my body. Just my back was no good and thought it might have been curtains, but, I've been able to manage that really well the last few years, and I feel like I'm contributing to a side that's playing good football. So while I'm still doing that, I'd like to keep going.
You've had a couple of coaches along the journey. Talk to us about Fly and just the differences he brings from a Michael Malthouse and a Nathan Buckley and just the environment you've got down there at the moment.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I suppose I've learnt something from Mick, Bucks and then Fly, and it's been incredible over 3 stages of my career to have such great coaches. And yeah, he sort of takes the, he just takes the Mickey a lot and has a lot of fun. And everyone sort of looks forward to the 205 team meeting we have today because we don't know what's coming. And, you know, there's birthday cakes, there's party poppers. It's just all sorts of random stuff can happen that no one has an idea about. So it's been a lot of fun, and I think he's got the group in a really good spot, and we're playing really good footy.
Enough about you, Scott. Now, what about us? You're an avid fan of the Sunday Rub. You've been hearing about the initiatives we've had with the Sunday Supper and Steve Johnson last week, confused your assistant coach there for a Carlton assistant coach. Do you feel as if, you listen a lot, that we're off the rails? Do you feel like we've bounced back since losing Ross? Just give us some feedback on how we're travelling.
Oh, it's a very funny program. Coming up here, I said I was doing Triple M, and Darcy Cameron sort of sat back in his seat because I seen what he did a few weeks ago when you're talking about Isaac Cranor's rig, and then Scotty Selwood said something about Steve Johnson asking me about Carlton players and he's a coach of Collingwood. So I think you are off the rails a bit, but that's why everyone likes listening to you, so I'm enjoying that. Who had the Sunday supper today?
Don't talk about it, Scotty.
So it was, Scotty, we had Sunday supper, 25 dumplings between 9
minutes. Yeah, Rash, it's like entree. Sunday
maybe he's
entree.
Trying to say something to you all that you...
we've got that feedback, but we're also very hungry boys, so that's piss poor, isn't it?
Hey, Pendles, the other thing for your prep, did you get to see the end of the basketball on a different note? Did you see what happened between Boston and Miami?
I sat in the car until it finished, because you're not allowed your phones once you get in here. So I sat in the car. That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Amazing finish.
And then now, surely Boston have to win now. 7. So
they will now, won't they?
I really hope so. But what an unbelievable game. And Game 7, nothing better than Game 7 back on your home deck for Boston.
You played a bit of basketball too, didn't you?
I did, Stevie. Thanks for that. That's almost some of your best work.
Hey, Harry Taylor likes his cognac.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, now Daisy, your former premiership teammate there, kicked 5 yesterday. Has he told you about how he kicked 5 yesterday?
No, not yet. What an effort. What was it in Vaffa? I heard you talking about Vaffa 2s, was it?
It's something you got to look forward to, Pendles.
Yeah, he's a man of the people, Daisy, though. I've heard him. He's helping everyone out. Goes, kick 5. He said he had a great sporties function after it that he didn't let too many people know about. So it's good that he's lining his pockets as well.
Don't worry about that. Stevie J's rocked up with 12 and a half grand today. hey, mate, we'll let you go. All the very best today. Thanks very much for your time, and all the best for hopefully what will be. I know we're talking 3 years' time, but a games record. Well done, buddy.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Pendles, well done. Thanks very much. What a star he's been. Just to go through it, 367 games, premiership player, Norm Smith Medal, 6 times All-Australian, 5-time Copeland.
He's come a long way considering he started in Daisy Thomas's shadow the first year, didn't he? Mm. And they come through together. Daisy Thomas was getting all the spotlight, and then he just went past him at a Raider notch.
Still the best field kick in the competition, Scotty Pendlebury on his left.
He's a man that rolls like a Royce. Now, there was another thing in the paper today. So Andrew Dimatina, who's a Collingwood player, brother of Paul Dimatina, also got married. And I read with interest the guest list. So Tarrant was there, Didac, Shaw, Heath Scotland, The whole Rat Pack. The only player that wasn't there again is our man. I think there's an issue. We need to get to the bottom of why he's not involved. He's obviously done something at a wedding along the way, and everyone's just blacklisted him from the wedding, and all the wives and girlfriends have said, there's no way Daisy Thomas is coming to any of your weddings.
That can't be right. He'd be the first person I'd love to bring to an East Side positive. He'd be good on the dance floor. He tells a good story.
Clearly there's something there. Underlying issue.
Still Sidebottoms used to be pretty loose himself.
Yeah.
So you well, think that... They would have hung out a lot together.
On a park bench out in Williamstown once, shirtless.
He sure said yesterday he was an honorary Rat Pack member. He tried to get into the Rat Pack. He was on second level Rat Packer.
Honorary, eh?
Mm.
All right.
There we go.
What else have we got?
I'm going to a break.
Do you want to do Essendon?
Yes.
Last night. So they got the job done. It's a bit of a workmanlike performance. Now, in the past, it's the sort of game that Essendon has lost, particularly against West Coast in the West. But there is more substance, a greater commitment and consistency at Essendon. Been building under Brad Scott last night. He wasn't doing backflips after the win last night, but he did, was impressed by the performance of his troops to get the job done over there in the West.
You know, I said to the players, you know, I would have been more concerned today if we came out thinking that we were going to try and kick 150 points and just, you know, walk over a side that's struggling, just mainly due to injury. You know, they're still a good side on their home ground. So I thought it was a professional performance, but certainly not one that we'll be, you know, watching the replay for fun.
They play finals this year, the Bombers, because they play North Melbourne twice and they also play West Coast again.
Yep.
So you can put them in for three wins. Sydney at home at Marvel Stadium as well. So you'd think they'd have to be able to win that. They've got a lot of games at home, the Bombers, and I can't see how they miss finals with a draw they have.
We've been talking a lot about Alistair Clarkson for obvious reasons. Brad Scott, I don't think, has got the credit he deserves for the improvement at Essendon and Tullamarine this year. They were in a pickle last year when they made the big call on Ben Rutten. Is any Essendon fan out there in the car at the moment unhappy? Happy with the direction, I doubt it.
Fareem Hot Water at McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Collingwood up against North Melbourne, Marvel Stadium. Sunday afternoon football. You got Joey, you got Stevie J. Daisy's not back yet, Jay Clark. And this man who's a star at the North Melbourne Football Club, Luke Davies-Uniac. Welcome to Sunday afternoon Triple M. And I believe you were listening on the way in.
Yep. G'day. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I love tuning in every now and then, so it's good.
And Stevie just pulled out his wallet to prove that he does have $12,500 cash in his wallet.
I couldn't believe that when I heard about it. I didn't see it, seen the truth coming out, so it's good.
And he's in the same clothes from Thursday as well. How's your hammy, and when we going to see you back?
Yeah, hammy's going well. Hitting all my markers so far, and hopefully it's 2 weeks, or at least put my hand up for the next week. And yeah, I'm going to hopefully hit some markers again for next week. And, yeah, like I said, hit some markers and, yeah, go again.
Must be a bit frustrating because you're playing such good footy early in the year. Bit disappointing the body's let you down a little bit.
Yeah, it is disappointing. Yeah, had a good start, which I was stoked about. And the team was going well as well. And, yeah, that came with some tags as well that I had to adjust to. And, yeah, as a young side, it was sort of hard for all of us to adjust around that tag and situation. So I'm still learning that in that sort of space. And I guess for now it's just sort of seeing all the young fellas going out now.
Well, no, hopefully you need Sheasel and Wardlaw just to keep playing some good footy, and they might get the tags in a few weeks, and you can run around and do your own thing. It must be pleasing for you as one of the young midfield stars to see those boys getting a good crack at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Georgie Wardlaw last week was sensational, and she's running through there as well, and still good to have Geyser out there mentoring them. And yeah, I've been telling Georgie that he's got 2 weeks left. So putting the pressure on him.
He's tough, isn't he? Like, there were a couple of moments yesterday where he was crazy brave in the air. The big collision, obviously. There's just a couple of times where he had no regard for his personal safety. You must have seen this building on the training track sort of right over the past couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. She's always talked highly of him. And we didn't see too many glimpses during the preseason. But, you know, once the VFL came around, you just saw how explosive he was, how he attacked the footy. And he never took a backward step, so that's exactly what we need, and I can't wait to play with him.
One of my biggest frustrations is the modern-day player doesn't watch enough footy on the TV when they're at home on the couch on a Saturday or Sunday. Tell us, do you watch much of the footy, and do you research on the opposition?
No, I watch a fair bit of footy, actually, on the weekends, especially when we've usually got the blockbuster Sunday 110, so I watch a fair bit of footy, and, yeah, I love watching it. I love watching certain players as well, so it's good.
I remember about 5 years ago, we used to have Chris Judd on a Friday night, and he said, watch this kid, Davies Uniacke. He's going to be an absolute star. It took you a little bit longer than probably what North wanted and probably what yourself wanted, but the last 18 months, you've just blossomed into a great AFL footballer. What has been the difference between the last 18 months and probably the first couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, probably the first couple of years was just adjusting, probably trying to adapt to that professionalism, probably struggled in that area. So I really honed in with Sean Higgins, Benny Cunnington, Ben Jacobs as well. They were really good in my sort of learnings on the way through, and I didn't always get it right. So certainly did a stint in the VFL for some time and learning those areas of what being a professional looks like, and sort of taking my game to the next level. But I'm really thankful for them, and it's coming out now.
Well, the man he left didn't always get it right either. He jumped over a fence, broke two ankles, and was out for the first 6 weeks of the season. He came back, and he was a brilliant player, weren't you, Stephen?
Is it pick on Stevie Dad?
Hey, it's obviously been a big fortnight for the club, Luke. We know it's been highly publicised. Alistair Clarkson has stepped aside, and we hope he has the time to feel well again. Brett Ratten has taken it over. What was that like from inside the footy club? Did you send Clarko a text? What's been the feedback back? Obviously, a huge adjustment and change for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually a massive shock because we had no idea or any indications. He always chucked on a brave face at around the club, and it was brave enough for him to say something to his mates and to all the coaches and staff, and we just wish him to get better, and we want him to get back as soon as he can, and we really miss him, and like I said, we're really fortunate to have someone like him at the club, and we're excited to see his face again.
We're chatting to North Melbourne superstar Luke Davies Uniacke, and hope Brett Ratten's taken over. It's his third crack as an interim coach, so he's had the experience. What's he been like? What's been the message to the playing group with him taking over?
It hasn't changed too much. I think he's just sort of trying to just get around roles individually a bit more, really just honing on that. So just making sure the young boys fully understand what they need to do game day, and just let their natural abilities come out, and we can put that on for show. So,
and if you're going to come in here, Luke, and feed us all, like you can see, if you look around the box, there's probably 9 of us in here, and you sort of wanted to come up with something good, give us all a bit of a snack. We got the rub, and then we go into the game for 3 hours. So the boys are pretty hungry. Would you think that 30 dumplings is enough to get round 8 of us? Because you were listening in, and Joey, who's over there in the corner, thought that 30 dumplings was enough, and I sort of thought it's more 60. So what's the under-over dumplings you would come with?
Maybe 30 does sound enough.
Like, thank you, it does. It's like in my head, Luke.
But then I also was listening in, and maybe 5 each is probably not enough.
Not enough. So you live with Aidan Bonner and Jack Marnie. Who's the cook? Do you cook? Who's in charge? What do the boys like to live with?
They're good to live with. Very funny characters.
Who cooks?
Bonzi's a good cooker, but Uber Eats gets a fair workout as well.
So. What's your go-to, Uber Eats?
There's a store called Chicken Lads on Hampton Street. Just opened up,
What I didn't know, that Cameron Zuha is an amazing cook as well.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, Bull's Cooking. Look it up. It's sensational, some of the stuff he's coming up with.
What sort of stuff does he do?
Oh, roast, pastas, everything you can imagine.
He does any barbecue stuff, pulled pork. I follow him on there. Lots of good stuff.
Very good stuff,
And there was a strong article from your mate Kane Corns, Brownie, who last week on the back of the Clarko news, Luke, questioned whether players like Nick Larkey and Ben McKay would want to hang around the footy club. It was a strong article. It's criticised. I thought it was an interesting piece. What's the commitment like amongst you guys? I mean, you are as central to that as anyone at the football club. You are someone this team can really build around. Can you give us an insight into the feeling commitment? We saw Jai Simpkin just commit to a 5-year extension. Yep. Give us a broad brush assessment of the Kangas at the moment, because we know it has been a really tough time for you over the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, you're right. It has been tough. And to be honest, I don't think we're far off it at all. I think where we are at the moment, we're getting a lot of games into young guys. And I feel like our next step is that confidence side of things. And, can we introduce that, them playing 10 games to 50 games? And I know that's a fair jump, but it's how we can bypass and fast track that sort of period there. And once they get confidence in their own roles, I think you'll see different stuff going on.
And Taron Thomas, so he's rejoined the club. He's in the selection mix. From your perspective, how has he been travelling? You feel like he's obviously made some mistakes. Is he on the right track?
Yeah, no, definitely on the right track, Tassie. He's obviously had a tough period there, but he's sort of come in and back in the main group now, and he's sort of indulging himself a bit more into us, and he knows he's made a mistake, and yeah, we're really happy to see his face around the club now.
There's a theory out there that Ben Mackay and Harry Mackay are the same person. They've never played against each other. Have you ever seen them both in the same room?
I've never seen
them. Conspiracy theorist.
Mate, it's unbelievable that they still haven't played against each other, actually. I think it's the, what, seventh year or eighth year in the system now together. So how have they not played against each other? I don't know.
And what do you do away from footy? What floats your boat?
So currently just doing a landscaping design course. But other than that, I love me surfing.
You still getting out surfing in the winter? Are you still one that gets out?
Yeah, still one that gets out in winter.
Where do you go?
I can't say where certain spots are because I don't want everyone to...
Secret spots.
We're going to go out and see
Point Break sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last thing I need is Steve coming out there. So.
Mate, I'll be in a jet ski.
Hey, mate, hope you get. I see you back. You've been playing some great football. Hope the Kangaroos can kick on this year.
Yep.
Join us anytime on Triple M.
Thanks, guys.
Davies Uniac. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. Marvel Stadium, Collingwood up against North Melbourne, about an hour away. Stevie J's here. We've got Dale Thomas back in the box after interviewing Pendles down on the boundary. Joey, also Jay-Z. And it's time now for...
On Triple M Sunday Rub.
Do it for a caravan.
What?
Caravan.
There's lots of room for you on the bandwagon.
We're itching the caravan.
Before we do that, Port Adelaide led by 4 goals at quarter time. Choice Hotels around the grounds.
Yes, well done, Brady. Hey, didn't we, before we get to this, Joey, didn't we have one of those?
I asked you to give Richmond 3-10-28 taking on Port Adelaide 5-8-38.
Didn't you just say Port Adelaide up by 10 points over Richmond? Yeah. Richmond 3-10-28 inaccuracy costing the Tigers. Joey, we had one of the most awkward elevator experiences the world has ever seen last week. Are we going to talk about that or should we just save it to later? Because remember we were in
Limo?
Huh?
With Limo?
Not with Lemo. We were in the elevator going down North Melbourne versus Sydney last week.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, you walked in and stood next to a woman, and she had a meltdown, didn't she? She had a genuine meltdown, and then she ran out of the stadium. This actually happened, and then she yelled out, "Security, security," right, because Joey stood too close to her. And then Joey said to the woman, Joey said to the woman, "Are you all right?" Like, Joey's genuinely concerned, and she's going, "Oh." Because he stood too close to her. And then she exited the stadium.
Is this truth?
This actually happened. Joey, we got the text messages. Remember afterwards we texted about it?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a thing. But...
She yelled. She was like...
Probably want to be going with it on air either.
Call for security. It was quite extraordinary. Then the
next... So what are you seeing caravan to?
Then I bumped into a person, next person, and he said, you're a young fella. He said, "G'day, Jay-Z." I said, "How are you, mate? Go the ruse." And he said, "I love Hitcher Caravan." He goes, "It is the best thing."
What is this? Is this a segue? Or what are you getting at?
I tell you what, I'm going to...
Absolutely.
What was that story?
You just sounded Joey's weirdo in a minute.
You made it hitting your caravan to a second quarter.
You made out like I was sniffing her hair or something next to her on the lip.
That's what she thought.
Oh, my God.
That's what she yelled out after that experience, calling for security.
I think you need to be drunk.
Yeah.
I'll get the text messages. We'll put them on the socials. I'm going to hitch my caravan. The race is on. You know I like a lens on the trade period. The race is on for Gold Coast first pick in this year's trade period. We saw him offer it up in the Jack Bowes deal, which essentially was bought, in a sense, from Geelong. I got a feeling that it will be up for grabs again, and St Kilda and Essendon and these sorts of clubs will be all over it. And you know, you got to attach a player to it as well. If you're buying a first-round pick, you got to take a player like Jack Bowes and their big salary. Now, Joey, I know you like to operate in this space. I wonder whether it's going to be Braden Fiorini, who's on about $500,000, so a club like, I don't know, Essendon, for example, or another club, Hawthorn, take Braden Fiorini, get Gold Coast first pick, and they absorb all of his salary. So I'm hitching my caravan. It's going to be like a Jack Bowes deal, Mark II, in this year's trade period.
So Gold Coast are still tight with salary cap and need to free up another, and are prepared to give away another top 10 draft pick, you're saying?
That's what
for
I'm...
For 2 years in a row, they're going to give away a top 10 draft pick.
I'm hitching my caravan. I've got the hitch. I'm hitching my caravan. The tow ball's on, and I've got the safety chain and some ropes as well.
Wow. Well, that is really big. Poor by the Gold Coast if they have to do that 2 years in a row just to free up some money.
So who are they getting rid of?
Just mentioned his name, Braden Fiorini.
So I want to be reincarnated.
Lift.
I want to be reincarnated.
What as?
What as?
Fiorini's on 500.
Yep.
Wow.
What would
was that more than that, you, Stevie?
What's market value?
That's right.
The salary caps have gone up since you played.
Yeah, I know, but geez.
That leads me to my caravan, Jay-Z. Talk about some list management stuff. I want to put my list management cap on here and throw this one to you. Hayden McLean from the Sydney Swans is out of contract at the end of the year. What would you say he would be worth? Hayden McLean. Is
400?
Yes, yeah. But
yeah,
like just
average.
Are going to be on about 250.
Yeah, right. Yep. What are we talking that young Tom De Koning? What are we saying some of the figures getting bandied around for Tom De Koning to go to another club next year?
600.
600?
Yep.
Is that?
Yeah, I've heard more.
I was hearing 800.
Yep.
At some stage.
I think Carlton's happy to pay him about 600. If you want to get him, yeah, you're going to have to go more. Right. Yep.
Well, I'm hitching my caravan. This is where some clubs have got to be smart with list management and look at output versus potential and versus talent. Hayden McLean is just as good a player as Tom De Koning. And he proved that on Friday night. And his numbers back it up. They are both 24 years of age. Hayden McLean is a better contested mark and better forward. And his ruck work is just the equal of Tom De Koning. Now, Tom De Koning looks flashier. He's like the big horse Davey in the mounting yard. That's the beautiful-looking chestnut. Mm-hmm. Prances around. But you've got to actually put performance on the track. A horse that actually goes and wins races, not just runs home well every start and think, oh, this horse has got potential and got talent.
The ugly one, the sweater.
The sweater, the one that wins. Hayden McLean does just as much as what Tom De Koning does. Oh. And you can get him for half the price. So if I'm a list manager wanting a second forward, a forward/second ruck, I'd be going after Hayden McLean for half the price.
I don't mind.
And saving some money.
He's got a bit
Tom De Koning.
He's got a bit of something about him too, Big McLean.
That's real Billy Bean stuff out of money. Yeah, Paul Joey.
That's right. That's the art of list management, not paying overs for blokes like Braden Fiorini and then having to give away top 10 drafts.
And he is a good kid. He's a workhorse. Like, he'll come to your club.
He was,
looks like he'll get the best out of himself.
Can he fight? He looked like he could fight.
Hayden McLean. I don't know if he can fight.
He's captain of Sandringham and I think vice captain of Vic
Leadership quality.
Yeah. I am changing tact here because I think the Aussies are going to pull a surprise in the World Championship final. So they've got obviously Josh Hazlewood to pick from. They've got Mitchell Starc, Pat Cummins, Cameron Green. But I think they're going to pull in Michael Nessa. Michael Nessa's been playing in the county cricket.
Ooh.
He's taken 19 wickets at 25. He was a Sheffield Shield Player of the Year last year. And he's just been taken out of the county system, added to the Aussie squad. I think he comes in and bowls in that attack. And I think Australia wins.
Is he swinging it over in England?
Absolutely.
Jagging around
Frankie
up there.
Frankie Worrell style.
You've been hanging out with Howie with all this cricket talk.
He's played over 500 runs, so he's an all-rounder. So you could play him and Green as two bowlers. And then you could probably just go with Paddy Cummings. That means Josh Hazlewood, who's been injured, he doesn't have to bowl. And also Mitchell Starc, you could probably keep him for the one days.
That's a good one. You go, Daisy.
Yeah, I'm going to hitch my caravan / pitch my caravan this week to the AFL and around your bye period. So we have a three-week rolling bye. Complete and utter waste of time. I'm hitching and pitching for a week-long industry-wide shutdown.
Ooh.
We're talking about the coaches not having enough time to get away from the game and a time to refresh and have a break. The players getting worn out. Us in the commentary box, we're half stuffed and asking coaches the wrong questions about wrong players, things like that. So I'm hitching and pitching that we have a week where we shut it down. We have an industry-wide stop. The players can obviously train.
In the middle of July. Oh,
like Andrew,
in the middle
of Andrew July. Andrew Dillon can make a statement.
Make a statement. We can all go away, have a holiday, and then come back fresh
mental
for a second. That's it. A big mental health week. Come back fresh for the second half of the season.
Like it, Daisy.
Off to Bali.
State of origin?
Yep. Royal Ascot, wherever you want to go.
No, you mean having a No, it's an industry week off, Jay. That doesn't mean State of Origin footy for the good
State
players.
Of Origin's are dead now, game.
Oh, I thought you meant when I go and watch the...
They took it on a ball.
The rugby. I didn't realise you sort of misunderstood the bit of industry-wide shutdown.
I don't know what he's been smoking today, Jay.
Have you been hanging out with Leroy?
I think State of Origin...
He's been bubbling up.
I think the State of Origin concept needs to be revisited, not every year, but occasionally.
Well, you could have hitched your caravan for that, Jay-Z. Instead, you hitched your caravan to Braden Fiorini.
Yes, of course.
And Stevie can't get over how much he's paid.
I would have been on a mill. Anyway, I'm hitching my caravan. I think the All-Australian captain, it's not penciled in, it's in ink. So, Joey.
Bontempelli.
You tell me which player in the competition you want to run out behind if you're going to win a game of footy.
Be Green.
Today.
Toby Green.
Toby Green, yes. Right? So he will be named All-Australian captain. Oh. Captain of his club.
I love
and going
this.
Better than any other player in the competition. Had the 2 weeks out, come back. If it wasn't for him, he drags them over the line again. In all four of their wins this season, He has dominated and been best on ground. He's averaging 23 touches, 3.5 goals in their 4 wins this season.
That is the Hitcher caravan of the year.
He was 100-1 right for the there. Brownlow, wasn't he, at one
500-1.
500-1.
Got on.
4 BAGs. That's a good one.
Does Pendles make All-Australian this year, in your opinion, Jay?
Of course he does.
Absolutely. Okay, he's right around the mark at the moment.
He might tip him out for cash.
Yeah, so you want Toby Green or Pendles?
No, I want Toby Green, but I'm just thinking.
All of a sudden, Brett and Butters also, he's had 4 perfect 10 coaches votes. So you'd imagine that you'd have 4 lots of threes in the Brownlow. So Butters would be right up there.
Yes, hope he goes well.
Hey, Daisy, we wanted to talk about, when we talked about it as you were coming up the stairs, so you wouldn't have heard about it, but we chatted about Steel Side Bottom's wedding, the fact that you didn't get invited. So then in the paper today, another former Collingwood great, Andrew Dimatina, who played 28 games, there was a story about him in the paper today getting married, and the whole Rat Pack's going. So they listed him. Tarrant's there.
Correct.
Didak's there. Shaw's there.
Yep.
Ben Johnson?
Benny Johnson was
there. Swan. Tarrant.
Swanee.
Yep. Heath Scotland there.
Yep.
What have you done?
No, so I didn't play with Dimmer. I missed that one. The Sidey one is quite confusing, and I actually was at lunch with those boys on Friday at Thursday at Scottbury we were.
Did
we were discussing, and none of them got an invite to Sidey's either.
Who?
Didak. Shaw, Johnson, Dodag.
So that's his branding.
Dodag let Sidey live at his house, and he nearly burnt it down by having a barbecue one time. So
his brand side bottom.
And I think maybe the fact there was also N Buckley on the guest list as an ex-coach might have just sort of.
So he's taken the coach over the former mates. Sides.
Yeah, and look, that's probably a good decision. You don't want us causing havoc at your wedding.
No, I think you've grown up a little bit now, though, haven't you? You.
Oh, yeah, me. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you take us through how you kicked 5 goals yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't really got there yet.
Who did you play for?
I rolled out with the old Paradians in the Vaffa there, which was very good fun. We came up against White Fries, who were second on the table. We were second bottom. Only 1 win for the season was last week. Down and out, struggling, lots of injuries, and just came out and wandered out a full forward. Just got 3 minutes in, just got absolutely hit up from our other forward mate down there, the big fella.
What's his name?
Bouncy, I think it was. Bouncy. He was a good man. Good, beautiful left foot kick and had a nice pair of jukes as well. But flew out and he just laced me out, went back from 35, dobbed it. And, yeah, kicked 5, had a good bit of fun. 5 goals, 2, 1 out in the full. Tried to take a hanger in the first quarter. Need a bloke in the middle of his hamstring. I thought I was going to hit the moon, and I got him right in the middle of the hamstring and then apologised. And then launched another one, actually got up there, so that one felt better. Late in the game, like bit of showtime, round onto my left, thought he's right in front of the crowd. This is going to be nice. 30 metres out on the run, little left to right slider from the banana. And ballied it straight onto Plenty Road. kind of anticlimactic, but we won. We won by 10 goals, a season-defining victory.
Nice work. Hey, we're going to change tack to Stevie J again now because Ross Lyon has been as happy as you can imagine, but I'd imagine he's getting a little bit grumpier.
Cranky the Ross mob
but
coming
I'll tell
in.
You what, before the game yesterday,
very
he was
good.
Very, very happy. And this is what he said about our man Stevie.
We've had coaches get a bit disgruntled with us over the journey.
What, with you guys?
And I thought to myself, how when we are just bananas?
Well, how do they take you seriously?
Exactly.
I mean, Stevie J, you know. I was hoping he was. Oh, no, he's on that crew tomorrow. I was going to remind him, I'm actually coaching St Kilda, not the horse. Seriously. He's taking it. I thought the duck couldn't get any looser, but he's taking it a whole new level, hasn't he?
He's compared you to the duck.
Looser than the duck.
Taking it to a new level.
Wow.
Oh, I'm not sure about that, Rossi.
We also
the
asked
duck
him
is
all
pretty
day.
Loose.
The Saturday team also asked him his favourite moment on Triple M footy.
I had real joy, you know, that game. I saw Andy Murray in the box next door when Collingwood Elliott kicked that winner. Like, nothing but it brought me the greatest joy I had in 10 years. But I love the M's. I'll be back there one day. Keep the seat warm.
Good man, Rossi.
Very good, man.
Very, very happy. You
reckon we're hearing that the ratings on the Sunday Rub,
up.
The downloads on the listener app,
up
sky
with you,
high.
Well, when
sky
high. Players at least Luke Davies, Uniacke's listening on the way in. Ross Lyon's listening on the way in.
Caro's listening.
Caro's Arrow wants to listen.
Met a lot of people in Perth over the last
Kane Corns is listening.
Taking us to a whole new level, Steve.
Your mate Kane Corns gave you another clip
he
this morning.
He did give me another clip. I'll have to read what he said and read what he says about the week's footy and then regurgitate it.
It was good.
Are you doing some homework as a part-timer, Brownie?
Our boss,
come on, Kane.
Also said that Sunday is his favourite day to listen to the radio because we are the best team.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Collingwood up against North Melbourne, a big day for the Collingwood Football Club. Steel Sidebottom playing his 300th game, and I'm just seeing a lot of former players milling around trying to make it about themselves. So there's a few down there.
Mick Maxwell.
Is Daisy down there?
Nick Maxwell's down there. No, Daisy's in here. Nick Maxwell looking very important down there. Sherrod Wellingham. I can see.
Keep an eye on him, because I left Barbambi about 1:30 and he was firing up. And the last text he put in the group chat was at 6:30 saying, so I'm going to 161. So he could be in some real areas, the old J-Rod.
Lyndon Dunn is down there. The other Nathan Brown. Leon Davis is down there. Nick Maxwell jumping up and down, making it all about himself. So they're all the people just crowding around the boundary line for this man.
Number 22, Steel Sidebottom.
Sidebottom closes. Sidebottom gets it. The Pies are irrepressible.
Sidebottom for the skill of Sidebottom. Amazing. Absolute genius.
Back to Sidebottom. Something good will happen here. Sidebottom runs to 50, sells some body candy, and off a step, that is superb. Steel Sidebottom, absolutely magnificent.
Out to Sidebottom, he's a class act, Steel Sidebottom. You back him from here, he puts it on the left, and he kicks it straight through the middle.
Waterman thought about it, gave it to Darling. Ooh. Darling caught from behind by Sidebottom, and he's gone. Sidebottom with a goal-saving tackle.
His kick might land in the arms of Sidebottom. Just evaded him, who's clever enough to go back and get it. Got around Gibson, brilliantly done Sidebottom. He's going to line up the goals from there. That is magical play, Steel Sidebottom.
Picked off by Sidebottom.
Steel Sidebottom, what a player he is. 300 games today. Mason Cox is going to play his 100th. But let's take a trip down memory lane. 10 goals in the grand final when they played that TAC Cup grand final. 37 disposals, and he announced himself up the order of the draft.
Been an extraordinary player, Steel Sidebottom, over a long period of time. Played well in some big games too. I don't know, and I'm serious about this. You guys tell me, is Steel Sidebottom a left footer or a right footer?
He's a right footer, but he's blessed with sublime skills on either side. And he, from a young age, even in that TAC Cup Grand Final, if you go back and watch it, he was banging them from 50 on his left. And still remember the first couple of days at training where he would roll onto his left foot and you'd sort of be like, righto, smart ass, like, pull this away. And then every time, hit your lace out, left or right side. Absolutely brilliant.
Of those 10 goals he kicked in that TAC Cup Grand Final, he kicked 6 on the right and 4 on the left.
Did he really?
Yep.
Is he the best dual-sided player of the past 15 years? Can you think of a better one?
Since Leon Cameron.
I was going to say, you can reel them off, can't you? Leon Cameron, Wayne Schwoss, Stevie Johnson. They were some of the ones. And now in the modern footy, there's not many that are natural on both.
Sam Mitchell was very good.
The other one, you're right, yes.
Jason Ackermanis was very, very good.
Hey, can we quickly change tangent to Richmond quickly, Brownie? They currently trail Yardapulti, that's Port Adelaide, by 11 points at halftime there at the MCG. It's interesting, the conversation that's happening around the Tigers at the moment, and what sort of coach? Because over the past, almost always, we go to the premiership coaches the coaches with the premierships, with the most experience, the biggest names, etc. But Craig McRae really feels like he's changed the game in this aspect. And now, when you hear Brendan Gale talk about the next steps for the Tigers, and talks are going to ramp up over the next fortnight, it's like, what kind of coach do we need? And amongst the first things he mentions, Brownie, is connection. So, and you look at Craig McRae and what he's doing, and the changes Damien Hardwick made. He was a bit of an authoritarian early and then became more of a relationship coach and build those bonds with his players. And I guess it's just wondering, do you feel like, and you guys would know, do you feel like the modern game and Richmond's coach search is going to land on a person who was possibly younger? And rather than being the strategy wizard or the premiership guru, it's going to be someone who's close with his teammates. Is that the one wood in a coach's repertoire now?
You know what the great coaches do, and obviously Craig McRae has done it. So he releases some of the power. Like back in the day when we came through, coaches loved power. So coaches loved the fact that they controlled everything. And maybe their assistants weren't up to their level and they didn't want them to be in case that one day they got overstepped. Now it's Craig McRae. Okay, I am the coach, but I'm putting people around me who are probably better strategizers than me around.
Strategists.
Yeah, strategists around me that can do the job for me while I tend to what is the bigger, broader football club. So I'll ask you a question. Andrew McQuilter, Ross Lyon, every time I hear about Andrew McQuilter, Ross Lyon loved him, thought he was fantastic, wanted him to be at the Saints. What makes Andrew McQuilter so good? in Ross's eyes?
Oh, well, I think Ross just respects him as a person and what he was able to do as a player. He was strong with feedback for a guy that wasn't one of the big names in the club. He had a great connection and relationships with all the players. He's still a very popular member amongst the group. And I think he's a big candidate for the Richmond job, Jay-Z, because I think Richmond would like for someone to continue on really the Richmond brand. The Richmond DNA is still there. Mm. They just need a fresh voice, someone to add some layers and do it slightly differently. So I think this is a really big opportunity for Andrew McQualter to put his stake in the ground. If he can put in some strong performances, because he knows the Richmond way, he knows their DNA, but can just do it with a slightly different take compared to Damien Harvey. But, I mean, I think you're right, though. Richmond, I would presume, would be looking for a first-time coach that can build with this next wave of Richmond players to take the group forward going forward.
He's got a really good opportunity, long period of time, to stake his claim. It was interesting that they chose him over two recent coaches in David Teague and Ben Rutten to take the job, so he must be pretty impressive.
I think the entirety of the AFL world looks at Collingwood and is just appreciating what they're doing, just how genuine it seems to be down there. We see other clubs at times, and we've all been forced to do them, like those little things of the mothers on Mother's Day, and it seems a bit gaffy or a little bit forced, but it's so genuine down there that it comes across, even getting Bo McCreary's mum in. So whatever they've created and the enjoyment that those players have, Yes, Pendle's talk, he's relaxed, he's laughing, he's having a good time. Tom Mitchell saying he loves going into work every single day. Mm. There wouldn't be many players across the competition that would actually say that. Mm. Your best four or five and a couple of new kids would really enjoy going to work every day into your football club. Most of them are there, one, to just try and get better and to get through, but not genuinely loving it, and the Pies have done that. Hence why they're playing such great footy.
Doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone, though. That path and go, okay, Collingwood are doing this. Let's get a coach who can connect with the players. It takes a special kind of person to be able to connect with so many players, and not only players, but staff around the football club that help out, people above the football club. And the biggest thing at Richmond are those people above who have been so strong with Damien Hardwick. Are they going to be there? Is Neil Baum going to be there? Mm. Is Brennan Gale going to be there? Peggy O'Neill's already gone. So they had such a good top of their football club, and then it filtered down to the coach and the players. So it doesn't always go that way if they think it can.
What should Port Adelaide do, fellas? Do they re-sign Ken Hinckley now, Stevie, or do they wait till August? Because you would have thought that Ken Hinckley would be a strong candidate for the Tigers' job if he remains available. Do you think so?
I just think he's the obvious choice. Like, I wouldn't give an opportunity to an opposition club to maybe poach him. When he's right in front of you, his coaching record, and I think he's been under unfair pressure, the way they've treated him as a club over the last few years. If I was him, I would be looking outside and saying, can I go to a Richmond or can I go somewhere else and get a 5 or 6 year deal where I know that the club will back me in and try and win a flag? Because he might sign a 2 year extension or whatever it is. He's still going to be under the same amount of pressure year in, year out at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I think he's a Port Adelaide person. Oh, I think they're doing it perfectly fine. Oh, they agreed at the start of the year they would wait till August, win or lose, they were going to wait. And I think they should just stick to that. Yes, if Richmond want to come and make Ken Hinckley an offer, I think his relationship with that club and with Koshy is mature enough where he can say, look, Richmond have come to me and offered me a 4 year deal. Are you going to come? That's like a player that's out of contract. Your manager goes to the club and says, look, we've got offers from other clubs. You're going to match our offer. We would love to stay, but we need to see something. And you make a mature decision about it. I don't think Port Adelaide need to panic and jump because everyone in the media is now saying he's going to go to Richmond. I think just hold fire. It's working for them. Let the year play out and they'll have those mature conversations.
Well, I couldn't agree more with the love he has for his players, like Butters and Rosie. He sees what's coming through and they can be right up there for the next 5 or 6 years as a club.
And if Richmond are going to go down the young approach, well, Ken probably isn't a candidate. That,
The other side of that coin is Gold Coast at the moment. Very good win over the Bulldogs last night. An upset victory despite a 50-metre penalty, which might go down as the worst call of the season, to be honest. Joey, did you catch it last night? Ben Ainsworth on the mark. Bailey Williams, I think, was gifted the 50. The umpire said he stepped over the mark. It was a curious one.
Yeah, it was a horrible call. If they had have lost the Gold Coast because of some horrible umpiring decisions, it would have been, well, unfortunately for Gold Coast, there wouldn't be enough backlash because of their supporter base. But I reckon it's happened to them a number of times. That 50-metre penalty was the worst call I've ever seen. Ainsworth jumped on the mark pretty much
on the spot.
Within a 30 centimetres of where the mark was taken. The umpire didn't even ask him to come back, blew the whistle immediately and said, that's a 50-metre penalty, you're 2 metres over the line or over the mark, which was incorrect, which is actually wrong.
Just so quickly, what's the pass mark? Brownie, Daisy, Stevie J for Gold Coast to be satisfied at the end of the year with the
have
direction they're on.
Final. Have to play final.
Top eight? You agree,
have
Stevie?
To play a final.
This year?
Yep.
There's no chance of playing final.
No, but what's the pass mark?
What's the, I would say.
Stop counting your cash.
Top 10?
It's not a win-loss, the pass mark. A pass mark's internally what they think that group is doing.
But surely
they're on the
at
right
some
track.
Point they have to have aspirations and actually have to go and play finals. You can't finals. Just,
of course they do.
Ninth and tenth is the easiest spot you can ever land on.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Sunday afternoon, footy. It's been a massive show so far. Scotty Penderbury spoke to us. Luke Davies, UNIAC, Hitch a Caravan. We had a side bottom package. Daisy kicked five yesterday. Yes. Stevie J's what been in Perth. He's earned 12 and a half. Yep.
And the supper. So we, Joey's on the Sunday supper duties. Didn't order enough. We've just ordered some chicken and rice. Guess who puts his hand up for a bowl?
Joey.
Joey.
Is Joey buying?
And who paid?
Daisy.
Oh. You got to put your headset on, Joey.
Sorry,
it's a radio.
I thought you were throwing the Mason Cox package.
Well, we decided to talk about. Yeah. Did you not pay for the?
No, I don't have my credit card on.
Oh,
I did see that. I don't.
Touch of the shorts.
Like a stanza. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Me. Well, we spoke about the 300th game for Scotty Sidebottom, Steel Sidebottom.
Sorry.
But Mason Cox is also playing his 100th, and here's a package for him.
Brands socketed only as far as Treloar. Big chance, Mason Cox coming up, and he's plugged it. Big Maso. And you'll be getting pretty twitchy if you're a Tigers supporter, and he delivers it through. Unbelievable scenes. Cox is deep again. He comes out. Oh! This time he's taken a hanger, Mason Cox. Mason Cox, not much angle, stabs at it. Goal! A bloke from the States is lighting this up. Henry does chip it to Mason Cox. Oh! It's like a replay does. He's got it. Mason Cox lines up, keeps it low. Mason Cox is writing his name in the Collingwood history at the moment.
Mason.
Big Mason Cox.
He's got it, Howie.
He's got another contested mark. He's playing like a combination of Michael Jordan and Wayne Carey at the moment.
He has played a game for the ages, Howie.
That's going back to the 2018 Prelim Final where he lit up the Tigers and put them through to a grand final, which unfortunately they lost with a kick from the boundary after that. But any more news, Jay-Z?
Well, just on Mason Cox, I mean, he looked absolutely shot a couple of years ago. I think he played a game against Brisbane and he dead set could not catch a cold. He was really struggling. That's where he got his eyes tested, realised he had a bit of a vision issue, especially in the night games, and has completely turned around. Looks like it's been a force in games this year. So credit to Mason Cox, one of the best recruiting stories of the past 10 years in the AFL. I'll tell you what, interesting game between Fremantle and Melbourne yesterday.
But before you go past Mason Cox, is it fair to say that he came on and everyone was like, what's this gimmick? What's this big American bloke who's very, very happy with himself and hasn't done a lot in the football? And I think everybody thought, maybe you're just a bit ahead of yourself, and turned it all around now to the point where I actually enjoy watching him. I want him to take a mark. I want him to go back and kick a goal, and I want the theatrics that come with Mason Cox. I think he's good for the game. We don't have a lot of characters in our game. We don't have any Fivolutions anymore. We don't have any Stevie J's. We don't have any Daisy Thomases. So we get these small parts of football where somebody is really good at what they do, expressive, and we need more of it.
He's the one man in AFL history who's tried the jack-in-the-box move on the mark, as Brian Taylor called magnificently. That's the sort of stuff that we love, and you're right, we should embrace that. I remember we spoke to Wayne Carey in this seat a couple of years ago, and he basically said, oh, he's not going to make it. And that's not to discredit Duck. But I think at the time, he wasn't showing it consistently. But to Collingwood coaching staff's credit, and Craig McRae's been huge in that process, he's turned himself into a very decent AFL player. So well done to him. He used to play soccer. Melbourne, at the MCG yesterday, lost again to Fremantle. And Luke Jackson, he might have been slow out of the blocks this year and copped a lot of criticism. But now with Sean Darcy going down with a hamstring injury, Luke Jackson is certainly earning every dollar of that big contract he received in crossing across the West. And now Joey will be their number one ruckman. I know Kane Corn said today that maybe Fremantle should trade Sean Darcy. It really feels like over the past month, they've tricked up their game plan. They're scoring 100 points, not yesterday, but three of their past four matches. And Luke Jackson is right at the fore of their resurgence.
Yeah, well, this is exactly why Fremantle signed him on a seven-year deal. I mean, he's going to be probably one of the most valuable players in the competition in a couple of years' time. I mean, if anyone saw that first quarter yesterday,
He had 8 disposals and 3 clearances playing as a midfielder. He wasn't in the ruck. He was actually at the stoppages. And by three-quarter time, he'd had 18 disposals, 8 clearances, doing a bit of everything. And we talk about how valuable Mark Blitzarves has been to the Cats. He's the unicorn. Luke Jackson is going to be every bit of that and more in the future. So I think that the combination of him and Darcy is going to be a weapon for Fremantle in years to come. Jackson can play forward, can play midfield, and will pinch hit in the ruck as well. So great asset, but now he gets to shoulder the load without Sean Darcy.
What about the Demons? They'll step into the spotlight on Friday night. They play Carlton. The ramifications for both teams is absolutely huge in this. Should be a great call, of course, on Friday night for Triple M. How are you boys assessing the Demons? It just hasn't felt for a team who's probably the most talented team in the competition. And I know Clayton Oliver was missing yesterday, but it just doesn't feel like it always clicks for the mighty Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, Hunter was out as well, so Clayton Oliver, two really important players in their structure and how they go about it. I thought Fremantle were pretty hot yesterday,
yep.
And they've come up against a side that's won 3 in a row and now 4 in a row. So I didn't think Melbourne played poorly. I didn't think they played at their best. Are they going to get beaten by good sides? Yes, they are. Are Fremantle a good side again? I think they are. But
so you're keeping the faith?
I'm keeping the faith in Melbourne probably more than I am Geelong at the moment. But if Geelong make the 8, I'm going to be pretty scared of them in the finals as well.
I think we have to understand how even the competition is this year. That's one of the things that we've seen the results in this round alone, that, yeah, actually, if your team comes out and can play some decent footy, anyone bar maybe one or two teams throughout the competition can come out and win on any given day, which is the model the AFL wanted. So we shouldn't be so surprised when two quality sides, yep, Melbourne and Fremantle, in form versus slightly out of form, is a little bit of an upset. But if you do the form, probably not so much.
If I'm a Melbourne supporter, I'd rather my team be 7-4 with their best footy ahead of them than last year be 10-0 and flying and then not playing their best at the back end of the year.
The one team we're not talking about who probably deserves much more credit is Brisbane. So they play later today, a huge test against Adelaide on their own, in Adelaide. Joey Danaher, tell you what, questions about him. He has really stood up. How are you rating the Lions, fellas? Because they feel like they are flying under the radar.
We can't actually really comment on them other than to say that they're going really well. They've put themselves in a position which they'll compete at the pointy end of the ladder in finals. It's when the acid test comes.
You don't trust them?
When finals come around. You can't trust them because they've done it time and time again now. So we'll see how they perform when it gets to the big stage.
You got a big question mark.
Right? And I don't know if they'll win today. I'm bullish on Adelaide.
Yeah, I like Adelaide.
In Adelaide.
I like the aggression Joe Danaher shown this year. And he's played big games, particularly in round 4 against Collingwood. So he showed the way. The one that I'm not convinced about is can Eric Hipwood go with Joe Danaher, because they don't have McStay anymore. So you do then rely on Charlie Cameron, Cam Rayner, and the players that play at the ground level. But the big one is, if Eric Hipwood can have a big final series, I think they can go all the way.
We could look back, Jay-Z. What was everyone saying about Geelong this time last year? What was their question mark? Getting it done in finals.
Yep.
So, and then they just absolutely put that to bed. I could see the Brisbane Lions doing the same thing.
I
agree that we've got the question marks. We haven't seen it. We could look back and they could sweep through the finals and knock off everyone, win a flag, and we say that's all we're waiting for.
It's got nothing to do with the talent. I think they've got probably the best list going into the finals. It's whether they can become the most selfless team when the pressure comes on. So those individuals that there's question marks around, does Hipwood then get to, say, you know, get to that moment in the first final and say, well, the world's watching me because I haven't performed in finals in the past. I've got to go back and slot this goal for my own good, when potentially he could pass it off and bring another player into the game. That's where I reckon they've fallen down in their last couple of final performances.
In his first few seasons, Tommy Hawkins was questioned about playing good footy in big games, and then he had that massive final against Hawthorn where he tore them apart, and every final after that, he just needs one big one to say, I've arrived.
Yeah, I don't think he necessarily needs to come out and dominate a game like Tommy Hawkins did, but he's just got to... The difference between your best games and your worst games can't be as big as what they have been in the past.
Brisbane have to have confidence from what they did in the finals last year, though. Getting a win against Richmond in a really good game and then coming down here and knocking off the D's, there's some confidence in recent years. So they're probably answering the questions along as we go.
They're prime. They are cherry ripe, Brisbane.
Big story finishing up here, Brownie. Cameron Cloke in the Sunday Herald Sun today. He's talked about the coward punch, which has ended his local footy career. Loves his local footy, of course, was playing for Templestowe in a game against Boronia. Cloke himself is on a two-week striking charge for something which happened first, and then he got clocked, and he says that he's struggling with dizziness, blurriness, his memory. He went to work without his shoes and socks on as a builder. He's building Travis's house at the moment. Hmm. So that's, affecting, no, it's affecting his memory. He's undergoing a lot of testing at the moment. He sort of talks about the incidents which have been happening in local footy, getting out of control, and these sorts of punches which are sort of ruining for everyone. Have you had an experience, Daisy? You played some amateur footy. How have you found it at that sort of level?
No, I haven't. There's certainly some fiery moments when someone gets cleaned up, and probably rightfully so in terms of flying the flag, but does sort of, because there isn't the cameras away from the footy and everywhere around the extra umpires and whatnot, it can get out of hand, and we don't want that at all. But from my experience, it's been thoroughly enjoyable going back and playing in the amateur fair and even competition. So no doubt we don't want that happening throughout any sort of football, whether it be junior levels or whatever level it is, but not ideal that you're going to work without your shoes and socks on. That's obviously something's not going quite right.
Now we wish the Cloke all the best. Jay-Z, thank you very much.
Thank you, boys.
Well done, Jay-Z.
Well done, Jay-Z. You started slowly and you tapered off from there, but I thought you finished with very, very strong.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.